1. A paddling of ducks. There we were, minding our lives with the same obedience as a clock ticking. A few weeks earlier, the sun had switched to its winter bedtime, so even though it was early evening, the sky was dark as pine pitch. That meant that Graham, Owen, and I couldn't sit outside on the White Rock patio. Instead, we had to crowd around the drop-down table in the living room kitchen of Baby Beluga. That was what Graham called our Airstream trailer. She was the absolute expert at calling things what they resembled and thought it looked like a miniature whale next to all the double wides at Avocado Acres Trailer Rancho. The trailer park was called this because it was surrounded on three sides by the largest avocado ranch in Lemon Tree, California. The name Lemon Tree did not appeal to Graham's sense of description because, as she pointed out, there wasn't a stick of citrus in sight. A giant plastic lemon did sit on a pedestal at the spray and play, a combination car wash, deli, playground, and one of our favorite places. That lemon was a tribute to the fact that there used to be fruit orchards in San Diego County before the builders came and put a house on every scratch of spare dirt. Except for the avocado grove, which was smack in the middle of town, and the last countrified land in Lemon Tree. We had already put away the dinner dishes from Wednesday chicken bake, and Owen started racing through his second grade homework like a horse on a tear. People were usually fooled by his looks and thought he was low in school due to being born with his head tilted to one side and scrunched down next to his shoulder. It had straightened a little after three surgeries at Children's Hospital, but he still talked with a permanent frog voice because of something inside being pinched. One of his legs was shorter than the other, so he walked like a rocking horse. But other than that, he was just fine. Contrary to people's first opinions, he got the best grades in his class. Graham, in her usual polyester pantsuit and running shoes, was doing her weekly hair set, rolling what little blue hair she had on those new bristle curlers that require no hairpins. I was not being mean about her hair. It really looked blue in the sunlight. And I mulled over my sorry situation at school, which was three boys in my fifth grade class who had decided that Outlaw was the funniest last name in the universe. They did not give me an ounce of peace. "Have you robbed any banks lately?" was one of their favorite sayings, along with jumping out at me, throwing their arms in the air and yelling, "Is this a stick-up?" My teacher, Ms. Morimoto, said to ignore them, but I had tried and it did no good. I was fed up, so I was making a list of what I could say back to them that might be embarrassing. I wrote across the top of my notebook page, "How to get boys to stop making fun of my name." I scooted my book in front of Graham to see if she had any ideas. "Naomi, I have lived with that name since I married your great-grandpa, rest his soul, almost 50 years ago, and I am too proud. Besides, there are worse things in life."
"But you don't go to Buena Vista Elementary," I said. She laughed.
"That's true, but I can tell you that boys have not changed an iota, and they are hard to humble. You know my true feelings on the subject. How about writing, 'Those boys will not bother me'?"
Graham said that when you thought positive, you could make things happen, and when it did happen, it was called a self-prophecy. If you wanted to be the best speller in the class, you said to yourself over and over, "I am the best speller in the class." And then before you knew it, you were practicing and becoming it. It was sort of like magic, and Graham believed it to her bones. But it didn't always work the way I hoped. At one time, Owen and I were the only children in the trailer park. I thought positive every day for a month for more kids at Avocado Acres, but all that moved in was a family with a teenager and a brand new baby. Graham insisted my positive thinking had succeeded, but I had been greatly disappointed. Before I could write down Graham's suggestion, Owen sneezed, and it was a big one, the kind that sprinkled spittle and left his eyes all teary.
"Owen, you got it on my page," I said,
smoothing my paper, which only smeared the wet spots.
"Sorry," he said,
and then he sneezed again.
"Company's coming twice,"
said Graham, matter of fact. It was another of her Oklahoma notions,